you will, mark your songbooks to hymn number 940. This will be the song of encouragement at the end of our service this morning. If you have a bulletin, you can see in your bulletin that the title for today's sermon is Looking Forward to the New Year. What a day. We find ourselves facing a new day, as today is the first day of the week. A new week. A new year, as today is the first day of the year, which brings about new opportunities. Brandon mentioned that during the announcements. And we do have a great deal of new opportunities in front of us. It is also a new day because we have a new preacher. Well, I don't look so new. It's kind of like buying a used car. I know I've been here since November. You can call that maybe a test drive. But you buy a new car, you know, a used car, it may have a ding or two. A few miles on it. That would describe me. But still, it feels new when you first get it. As we have all of these new things, facing the new year, at the start of a new week, on a new day, with new opportunities out in front of us, we should look forward to all of the things before us. The blessings that God has given us, we know those that we've received in the past, at least most of them, as they have manifested themselves in the previous year. But we have new blessings forthcoming from God. Our text, as listed in the bulletin this morning, is James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. As you turn there, let us consider just for a moment the brevity of life. As James writes through inspiration, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue their year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." When we stand at the gates of a new year, we're often planning ahead. And planning ahead is not condemned. Not what James is saying in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. He's not saying don't plan ahead. What he's saying is don't plan ahead without God. What are your plans for the new year? We sang the song, "I Am Resolved." Have we made New Year's resolutions? I'm sure that we both have. I think I mentioned this morning in class that every year I resolve to exercise more and eat less. And then sometimes about the middle of the year I get it reversed. I eat more and exercise less. So that gives me ammunition for my next New Year's resolution. Exercise more and eat less. How about you? What have you planned for the new year? Have you planned to improve your financial situation? I think we all look forward to opportunities in which we might improve our financial situation. In fact, it's necessary that this society in which we live, this day in which we live, that we earn for ourselves a living, that we might provide food and shelter for our families. And we need to look at that. But how? Is it to work harder or to save more? Maybe pay off some debts and clear up some of the monies that we are now using? What about when we resolve to relax and play more? I know that often we hear the phrase live, work, the live, work relationship. And people look at that and they say, well, we only want to work so much, but we have to live as well. There needs to be a balance. What about if you have resolved this year to get married? Suppose some of you young fellows have set your cap for a young lady. I guess that tells how old I am, doesn't it? They don't use that phrase anymore. Suppose you are determined that this young woman that you are dating, that you are going to marry her this year. Well, there's a couple of things that can get in the way of that. She could say no, break your heart. But it's a good plan if that's what you plan to do. What about stability in your life? That marriage might just provide that stability. Now, I want to suggest, while our minds are flowing with all the ideas that we might have, that we keep our New Year's resolutions simple this year. I have found in the past that the simpler the resolutions and the fewer the resolutions, the more easy they are to fulfill. Our first resolution is to resolve to better know God's will. As we look to the new year, we have an opportunity before us today to better know what God would have us know. Those things that He has provided for us in His Word. We need to understand as we turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that ignorance is not bliss. I once heard of someone say, "Well, I'm glad I don't know as much as you because I won't be responsible for as much." Friends, that's ignorance. We are responsible for all that is contained within the Word of God, to follow it as it is rightly divided, so that we can be faithful in our service to God, diligently faithful in our service to God, and approved by Him. You know, many people today want to be approved of somebody else. They want to be approved of the preacher. They want to be approved of the elders or the deacons. They want to be approved of their in-laws or their parents. On that great and final day when we stand before God, none of that will matter. What will matter is, did we know the Word of God? And did we do it? Acts chapter 17, 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." What is this saying? It's saying that God once allowed man to live in ignorance, but no more. He has provided His truth for all men, and that they may decide if they wish to follow it. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But Romans chapter 10 and verse 18, we say, well, what about those who haven't heard? What about those who don't know? Friends, none are going to be able to stand before God and have excuse. Romans 10 and verse 18, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." We will not have the luxury to stand before God and say that we have no way of knowing what God would have us do. We cannot afford to remain ignorant of God and His will for you. And what better time to start? At the opening gates of a new year. What happens when we allow ignorance in our lives? We may have been ignorant of some things in 2011. But if we allow this ignorance to continue in 2012, what happens? It brings about destruction. I want you to go way back into the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We will see here as we turn to this passage that Hosea is speaking of God's people. Actually, God is speaking of His people. And Hosea is just repeating it as he was given these words by inspiration. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." What a proclamation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Friends, we might soothe our conscience by saying, you know what, that was spoken to Israel. But it's true today in the church. It's true today, this morning. But what an opportunity do we have? Every day, resolve to know God's will better. Resolve it today, but put it into practice every day throughout the year. Ignorance establishes one's own righteousness. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, we will see what happened to Israel. Why it was that they had rejected God. And they did so because of ignorance. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, as the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing to the church at Rome. He says, "Brethren, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Let's look at that a little closer. Ignorance is what caused them to establish their own righteousness. Ignorance is what caused them to have misdirected zeal. You hear people all the time say, I love the Lord and look what I'm doing for Him. Well, is it what God wants you to do? Is it to preach the truth? Is it to speak to people regarding the Word according to the Word so that they might fully understand what the Word would have them do? If not, we may have a knowledge of the Word, but it's got to be properly directed. We may have a zeal, but is it according to knowledge? If we resolve at the opening gates of this new year to better know God's will, when we sit down to talk to somebody about the Bible, we won't have to wonder. We will not be ignorant. Ignorance can bring about persecution. Let's look at the case of Saul. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, as he comments through inspiration on himself, and he talks about himself, he says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? But look at the last part of it. He does say, but I obtained mercy. Why? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We might fool ourselves and say, you know what? Maybe I'm doing what I'm doing because I don't know. And because I do it in unbelief, ignorantly, I'll be pardoned for it. Well, let's look at Saul again. Saul was told when he went into Damascus, following the directions that were given him on the Damascus road, he went into Damascus and there it will be told thee. And what was he told? And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. He'd already heard the word of God. He believed it, or he wouldn't have gone to Damascus. He was penitent. He had repented. He was there praying. All he had to do was be baptized. To become once again a child of God. To do away with that ignorance. To do what God would have him do. And his persecution of the church stopped right then, right there. Ignorance crucified our Lord and Savior. And so we can see as we turn to Acts chapter 3 and verse 17 that we have no place in our lives as we open a new year for ignorance. We can look forward to the new year that we be not ignorant. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Had they known that Jesus Christ... Let me restate that. Had they recognized, they had been foretold, they had been warned that the Messiah was coming. They had been told that the salvation of all mankind was coming through them to lift all men up to God if they would obey. And they failed to recognize Him. We can start making all kinds of excuses. You know, I do when it comes to my resolution every year, my revolving resolution to exercise and eat. I make excuses. Whew. Well, I sat up like too late last night. I'm not going to exercise today. Where's the table? I've already lost it. I've made an excuse. We can make excuses today, but we don't have any excuses. Knowledge is acceptable through the written word, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. We see that the apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren there, telling them that they have the things that they need. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Notice this, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We have here the unfolding of revelation. The Spirit gave to the apostles and the prophets the Word of God. They penned it. They wrote it down. We say, well, yeah, I just don't have access to a Bible. Well, if you have a cell phone, most likely you have access to a Bible, if it is a smartphone. If it's a dumb phone, go to a motel. Every motel in our nation just about has a Bible in it. If that don't work, call me. I'll get you one. We have accessibility to knowledge. What must we do with that knowledge? We must read, search, and study. As we turn to Acts chapter 17, and verse 11, we can see an example given of those who were commended because they continued to study. They continued to check things out. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. One of the worst things that ever happened, one of the biggest tricks that Satan has ever used, is to instill in the mind of people, "My preacher said." I don't care who your preacher is. I don't care if you go and check me. Matter of fact, I would like for you to go and check me and then call it to my attention. Please don't embarrass both of us by standing up and saying, "Oh, preacher, that's wrong." Call me aside after services. I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you. You know, it is possible that you might have a misunderstanding regarding the Word of God. And that would give you an opportunity to learn and me an opportunity to teach you, or me an opportunity to learn better. And I tell you, I'm going to make a mistake. Remember, I'm a used car. I'm going to break down one day. And when I do, you bring it to my attention, I will fix it. I will correct it and try to repair all the damage that comes along with it. So we need to, today, resolve to know God's Word better. But what good is knowledge if we don't do something with it? So our second and final resolution today should be to better do God's will. Again, the first one is to know it. The second one is to do it. Knowing and doing are interrelated. James chapter 4 and verse 17 points that out clearly to us. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I know what the Bible says. I read it every day. You won't be so bold when you stand before God, having fallen short. We must resolve to better do God's will. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 shows us a situation. The situation that had begun prior to this time because it was brought up to them, but it exists today. It exists today in the church today. And we need to do away with it. There's only one way to do away with it. Resolve to know God's will better and resolve to do God's will. As the inspired pen wrote these words to the Hebrews, they're applicable to us today. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Today in the church we have people that say, "I can't teach a class because I don't know enough." No, you need to amend that statement. "I don't teach a class because I don't study enough" is probably more likely to be the truth. I'm afraid to get up in front of people. Friends, the first night that I had opportunity to get up before a group of people, I guess I've been a Christian about 2-3 months maybe, been working with the men there. How about some of you young men work with us and we'll teach you how to become preachers? Now, we're not going to ask you to preach 30 minutes. How about 15 minutes and we'll have two of you up that night? Well, as fate would have it, we had the awfulest storm. And it was thundering and it was lightning. I was afraid that at any minute two things were going to happen. The power was going to go off or I was going to drop my notes because I was dead in the water. a well-meaning brother, even though we had a microphone, but I was standing here shaking. Couldn't hear me. Says, can't hear you, brother. Might as well shot me right there. We can do things. We just have to do it. We have to get started. Every race is begun with the first step. Every crossing of every channel that's been done as people try to overcome the latest world record starts with the first stroke. You've got to reach out and do it. You've got to better do God's will. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, that tells us that we have advanced to the point that we should be teaching people. That doesn't mean necessarily getting up in front of public. There are some people that are absolutely afraid of getting up in front of the public. But they don't have an out. Because sitting down across your kitchen table talking to a neighbor is teaching. We all ought to be teachers. This morning, we need to resolve to do God's will for us. You know, I've asked several times. I've always getting the same answer. I'm always looking and I'm finding the same answer in the scripture. What is the will of God? That none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How? Through the Word of God. The Word will guide us to do the things that God would have us do. As an alien sinner, a person who has not been baptized into Christ, we need to look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the reason that we go there is because that was the first time that this commandment was spoken to those who had opportunity to become a part of the kingdom of God, doing His will, being baptized into Christ, where all spiritual blessings exist. They had heard an awesome sermon. You know, I often preach sermons in my sleep. Not audibly. But some of the best sermons in the world have been preached, and I wake up and I'm still in the bed. I wish I could do that good of a job up here. But Peter, on that day, along with the 11, preached an awesome sermon to the point that it touched those people's hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What have they done? They've crucified the Son of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God. Wrong passage. That's Acts 8:22. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What about as an erring brother? What if you look back? We talked last week about looking back. We're talking now about looking forward. You look back and you don't like what you saw. You weren't diligent in your study. You didn't talk to people about their soul. You didn't invite people to services. In fact, you let the Lord down all of 2011. As an erring Christian, what can you do about that? Now Acts 8:22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. This specific passage was to Simon about the specific sin that he had committed, but it applies to all who transgress the law of God after having become a child of God. We need, as we look forward into the new year, to be conscious of God's will in all of our plans. Not just the finality of things. Not just when I get to the judgment bar that I want Him to hear, well done. I want Him to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But in all of our plans, James chapter 4 and verse 15, for ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. This morning, I ask you to determine to do God's will in all of your actions. If you have not made a New Year's resolution, make one right now. Resolve to do God's will in all of your actions. Resolve to know God's will and to carry it out. Now, I ask you, have you been trying to go it alone? Have you been trying to make it on your own? Friends, none of us will make it on our own. If it is not for the blood of Jesus Christ, we would have no hope of salvation. why not include God's will in your plans from now on? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 talks about doing the will of God and what you might need in order to do the will of God. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What is the promise? Are we looking for a promised land? Are we looking for Canaan over near where Israel is? No. We're looking for a land in heaven, an eternity with God, because we've done His will, because we show that we love Him. What then is the will of God? Again, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you have a glorious opportunity. We're ready. We can assist you. You can become a child of God. You can begin today to do the will of God in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that we must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe according to John 8:24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Acts 2:38, which we've already read, we must repent. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Romans 10 and 10 directs us that we must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I like to point out the fact that all of these things are unto, and then be baptized. Mark 16:16 makes it just as clear as it can be. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But there's a flip side of that coin too. He that believeth not shall be damned. Once we have entered into that covenant relationship with God, we then must resolve to live faithfully unto death. 2 Peter 2:20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. What about as a child of God, looking back on last year? You don't like what you see. Resolve to do better. But have you separated yourself from God by sin? Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. What a better time to start anew than on a new day, a new week, a new year with new resolutions. This morning, as we open our songbooks to the songbook that was chosen, I ask you, what is your relationship with God? Don't fool yourself. Compare your relationship with God with God's Word. If you follow God's Word, you will be saved. If you need to respond, please do so as together we stand and sing this invitation song.